Let's get into the teaching, okay? And our subject is our awesome privilege, making disciples. There's a basic premise in life that kind of goes like this. Every action we have in life is motivated by something. Everything that we do, behind that action, there's something that drives that, that influences that, that motivates that. When we eat, when you feel hungry, right? Or you see an advertisement for a Big Mac burger or something like that. Of course, we go in and out, right? That's the biggie here. But we're motivated. You know, our jobs. We need to provide, you know, for our family and everything. So we have we go to work. We're motivated to go to work, do what it takes. Even when we play and have recreation. There's something behind that that moves us, that has us do things. Getting married, having fellowship, going to church, there's motivation behind all of that. And I think most of you would agree the greatest motivator that there ever is love. Yes, love. And there's no greater lover than the our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, huh? And perhaps the greatest action ever taken that was motivated by love, the love of God, is John 3:16, huh? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right? That whosoever should believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting love. God in his love provided eternal life and a fellowship with him forever and ever and ever. Our new birth life is far and away bigger than this earthly existence that we started with. I hope you would agree that we have eternal life. We have fellowship with the Heavenly Father. We've got Christ within. We have our identity fully and completely in Christ. And man, oh man, what a privilege that is. What an opportunity that is. And with that, we've been called to a family that has a business. The family business. And that family business really entails passing the word. Let's help someone else like someone helped us with the words of life so that we got born again. Think about it. Somebody was motivated to talk to you and share the word of God with you. I cannot think of any greater privilege than the opportunities to share the word with others. I mean, I think all of us have experienced that in some form or fashion, right? Where you've spoken the word, you've invited people to fellowship, and they get excited about God's word. Oh, there's nothing greater than you can do than to bring somebody to the point that they can make the decision, yes, I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe God raised him from the dead. Wow. I think Ephesians chapter 2 really demonstrates the greatness of this. Join me, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. I love this verse here because it doesn't talk about the love of God. It talks about the great love of God. And you know what I visualize when I see the great love of God? Tony the Tiger. Now, do you know who Tony the Tiger is? Yeah, he's Sugar Pops or Sugar Flakes. But what would he say? Great, right? That's how I see God's love. It's so great, so big. Where when He loved us. He used that love to love us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us or made us alive together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. The exceeding riches of his grace. How big is that? Man. In his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. And there's some translations that translate, we are his masterpiece. We are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, to do good works. What are those good works? Well, we're going to see perhaps the greatest work that we can do here in a moment. But he's created us in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We should do them. Okay, why not? Why not do the things of God? What has God done for us? You know, what little we do now is minuscule compared to what God has done for us. So in God's family, we have the precious responsibility that we've been called to what many Christians call the Great Commissioning, and also to live the Great Commandment. And what are those? What is the Great Commissioning? What is the Great Commandment? Well, first of all, the Great Commissioning is to make disciples. Matthew 28:19. I think we've got some slides for you on these verses. This is the ESV. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Who said this? Jesus Christ, right? This was his commissioning for all the believers to make disciples, disciplined ones. And that's bigger than just maybe sharing a few tidbits of God's word, but it's to the point that somebody believes it, acts on it, and makes somebody else a disciple. They pass it on. We used to say, each one win one and win another, and that one will win another. And it multiplies. It multiplies. You know, you probably remember Jesus' last words before he ascended up into heaven in his resurrected body in Acts 1:8. We've got that slide, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, and Samaria. So do we have to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria? Not necessarily, because we haven't finished the verse, right? And to the ends of the earth. San Diego qualifies. The end of the earth, huh? Wherever we need to go to hold forth the words of life. Now, what's the great commandment? The great commandment. This is what gives us the motivation to make disciples, to follow through with the great commissioning. So here, Matthew 22:36. This is the ESV as well. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Isn't that fantastic? And you shall love, the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And your neighbor is other people, okay? Doesn't necessarily mean the guy next door, it could be, but people that you're around with. So really, every believer is challenged with this calling to make disciples. and to do it with the love of God that God has given us. It's the family business. It's an awesome privilege we have to do this. Man, I think back in my life, I didn't get into the Word until I was 20 years old. But since that time, I just have great memories of speaking the Word to many different people and seeing disciples rise up and seeing them win others. Oh, man, what a heritage. That's the heritage I want to be remembered by, making disciples. That's what counts. So God has called us to this task. You know, it says in 1 Timothy 2:4 that God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And that's what we have the privilege of helping people do. Now, what I'd like to do today, there's a book, a wonderful book that I've read and worked. And we're going to be using this book in the garage group. You've heard me talk about the garage group fellowship. We start back this next Wednesday. And this is the book we're going to use to study, Daryl, as far... And, of course, there's some great scriptures in there. And the basis of the book and the author, Dan Spader, worked the scriptures to find out how did Jesus win disciples. You know, people have all kinds of thoughts and ideas of how to do this, but Jesus Christ had it nailed, okay? And so he puts together in four steps or four chairs. And the book's called Four Chairs Discipling, okay? So these four steps, and take a look at them. We've got a slide on these four steps. This first one is come and see. All right, come and see. Invite somebody to come check out fellowship. Come see. Come hang out. Let's talk a little bit. And then follow me. Let's spend some more time together, some precious time together. And then let's become fishers of people. Let's win others. And then go and bear fruit. These are the four steps. And within these four steps, we could see great success. Jesus Christ certainly did. And I've asked some experts to join me up on the stage. And I'm going to interview them. And we're going to go over each one of those four steps. So my experts, please come up. So I have Al and Jeannie and Daniel. Be careful here. And I'll give you a microphone here so people can hear you. So number one, here's Al. He's in chair one, the step one. This is the beginning of making disciples. And God has called us to reach out to people, speak the words of life, and make disciples out of them. So we want to be able to help them win others so they can win more others. And so with Jesus' method of this process of doing this, we start with chair one or step one. So Al, what is the key words for this first step? What is the first thing we need to do here?
Well, it's interesting that you say this because I have some notes that I took concerning this. So good. I trust I can answer that for you. Let's see what I got here. Okay. Well, the first challenge is simply to ask people to come see.
Yeah.
That's what we want to do. Come see. See what? The best thing you'll ever lay your eyes and heart on, okay? And you ask them, do you want to see changes in your life for the better? You know, I have notes here that says, it's from, for example, John chapter 1, verses 38 and 39, which simply says, Jesus turned and saw them following him. And they said to him, what are you seeking? Or he said to them, what are you seeking? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Honest question. And he said to them, come and you will see.
Yeah.
So they came and saw where he was living. They spent the day with Jesus Christ observing his life is what inevitably happened. And he showed them plenty. So he followed them. They followed him, rather. In the beginning, we reach out to people who are spiritually dead and incapable of knowing God through their own efforts. As hard as you may try, you need instruction. I needed instruction. I remember picking up the Bible and reading it and going, what? But someone under-shepherded me. And the best under-shepherding we could ever see is Jesus Christ. Because after all, that's what the Word is all about.
Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah.
Now, where do you find people to talk to?
Well, for the most part, these people are in our everyday circles of life, such as work, our neighborhood, and even walking our dog. We've had two dogs prior to the ones we have now, and now we have the two that we have now. I would say a lot of times that these are my witnessing partners. If it weren't for them, I probably wouldn't be in the park walking around staring up. But they help me to show people to come and see. So God has ways of working with each one of us to accomplish that.
What about some examples in the Bible?
Well, there's a good one with the woman at the well. She was a Samaritan, and Jesus spent time with her in John 4:29. And at that time, the culture of Jesus and this woman's culture were not to intermingle, but that didn't stop our Lord and Savior. After engaging her in conversation, she realized he was very special. Amen. Her response was to run back to the village and encourage everyone to come and see. So that was a fantastic revelation that she was going up there to get some water and ended up receiving something that would never let her be thirsty again. People at this point hear the word of God either from an individual such as you and I or in a fellowship. Bottom line is they receive it. I maintain a fellowship with the individual and under shepherd them, because it's more than the few words you speak, but it's to help them make their way down the road of righteousness.
Yeah, that's good. What motivates you to do this? Why would you take time out of your life to talk with different people and spend time with them?
Well, the first thing I would certainly say, it's simply the love of God. The love of God reaches out. I remember what my Heavenly Father has done to save me. A good example was, I had a really, really bad motorcycle accident years ago. And I didn't really know God then. All I knew is I was in La La Land. Well, someone else that reached out to come see had people coming to my bedside every day praying for me to be delivered. Here I am. Doctors were telling folks, thank you. Doctors were telling folks, he's not going to make it. This is not someone on the street. These are the doctors who are supposed to know what they're doing. But you know what? If I may speak for my father, he said, no, he is coming to see. And I have things for him to do. So again, here I am fellowshipping and loving the Almighty God with my heart, soul, and strength, holding forth that word of life.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Al.
You're welcome.
Well, Jeannie, you're sitting in chair 2.
Yes, Sam.
Yes, I noticed that. So this takes us a little bit farther. We've talked to people. They've come to see. So what is the key phrase for your step, step 2?
Step 2 is follow me. After a new person comes and sees that, and they like what they see, they become a born-again believer. They have heard Romans 10, 9, and 10. They learn to believe God's word. You know, maybe not memorize every scripture, but they take one verse at a time. It's like a child. They take one step and the next step, and they continue on. So they have to learn to be it. They're a new creation in Christ, that they're heaven-bound, that they're saved. So many people don't know really what it means to be a Christian. And that's one thing that we do in this phase is we teach them God's word.
Yeah, so what do they need to know to grow?
They need to know their true identity. They're sons of God. 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." And we are. That's the truth. That's the reality. That's what God's word's all about. When I was 19 years old, I asked my dad, "How do you know what you're doing is God's will?" He says, "When you die, you find out." But I wanted to know the truth, just like Peter said, "What is truth?" I mean, Pontius Pilate said, "What is truth?" Well, he didn't wait long enough to hear it. They need to know that they're chosen, that they're born of incorruptible seed, that it can't be taken away. Are you saved? Are you not? That's not the situation anymore. It's incorruptible seed, just like a child. And they also need to know that they are victorious in every situation. So in a victory, you have to have a battle. And they need to know that there is a devil. There's an adversary. And that John 10:10 said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." So that's a big reality that they need to know. So many people think that God does everything. They need to talk. They need to share their story and God's story. A week ago, Charlie came to Agape Now, and he shared how he was talking to one of his marina mates about prayer, and told him about Jeffrey being healed because of the believer's prayer. And he got stumped a little bit. So what he did is he came back and asked, "So tell me, does everyone, why do we have to pray?" That was the question. And he says, "Because God wants to, he can't go beyond our freedom of will." So what a blessing it was that here he's speaking the word and then he's coming back. "I don't understand, you know, tell me the answer." And that's what it's all about in building disciples. They need to learn the goodness of God. Boy, when you know that God is so good, and he has unconditional love and forgiveness, you wouldn't trade it.
What about some of the fundamental principles that Jesus used in sharing?
Jesus modeled a full dependence on the Father and the Holy Spirit. He modeled the importance of prayer. He obeyed the Father's will. He says, "I can't of my own self do nothing." God's word was centered in the center of Jesus' life and ministry. He spoke the scriptures. Remember, he was tempted and he said, "Thou shalt not live by," or he says, "It is written." Mm. And that's what our intentional relationships and love and integrity throughout his life. He even was a friend to sinners. You know, the Pharisees didn't like that. But John 13:35 says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." That love is the key.
Is there anything else that you would recommend to help build disciples so that they can mature spiritually?
You need to nurture them. That means help them feed on God's word. Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." Mm-hmm. So we teach them what God says, what Jesus just demonstrated to us. It's a priority. But they need someone to care for them, to spend time building a relationship with them. Teach the importance of living as Christ in you, the hope of glory, so that they can secure who they are. And then give attention to the basic Christian life, to grow, to walk, and to feed themselves. And to help them recognize the value of living in a spiritual family. They are welcome in a home family fellowship. They are comfortable building relationship with like-minded believers. They are not alone.
Yeah. Well, that's a great step there, a critical step. But then we got to go to chair three, step three, where we're going to be acting on some of these great realities that we have as a born-again one. So what's the key phrase for chair three?
Well, it's interesting you asked me that because I've been taking some notes as well. And you know what? You know what it says in Matthew 4:19 and in Mark 1:17? Simply says, become fishers of people. Jesus challenges those that he was working with, that were following him, that he would make you fishers of men. You know, Jesus worked with just 12 men most of the time. And it's interesting to note that Jesus spent 17 times with the masses, but 46 times with his new followers.
Wow.
Really something.
What are some of the characteristics of your step three?
Ah, very important. Those who are at this point have already been saved, born again of God's Spirit. They have learned who they are in Christ. And they have a basic foundation in God's Word. And now, they want to participate and be workers in the family of God. And, you know, typically, dare I say it, these are younger believers who are excited and enthused about serving. But there are five key characteristics of people in chair or aspect number three. You got to be available and willing to serve. Absolute must. You got to be faithful. You got to be teachable. And I would add on to this and say it's okay that, you know, you don't know everything, right? I still don't know everything. I'm still learning. Okay? The Word of God is a lifelong endeavor.
Yeah.
You got to be enthusiastic. You got to be responsive to leadership. Absolutely.
What about any other important characteristics?
Yes, absolutely. At this point in step three, people want to be, number one, living in the Spirit, loving in the Spirit, and also giving in the Spirit. Because the Spirit-filled life is the victory that sets us completely free and allows us to effectively serve and win others over to the family of God. And another point to learn here is that also we learn to live with endurance. You see, living in step three is not always easy, but it sure becomes our joy. Like it says in 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth.
Yeah.
You see, there is no greater joy in life than to help someone with the eternal words of life.
Yeah, amen, amen. Well, chair four, where is chair four? I mean, I see the chair, but where's the person that's supposed to be in chair four?
Well, there's a thing here.
What?
There's a thing here, so I don't know. Looks like they left a little...
They left a note. Look at this. My God, what? I can't believe it here. You ask people to do things, and then they run off. Well, here's the note from chair four. Sorry, I could not be here to share this most important step. You see, I am out living it and working it with a new disciple that is excited to win someone else. I guess we can excuse him for that, right? Our Heavenly Father designed us to bear much fruit in our life. Remember the story of the sower and the seed? Once sown on good ground, the results would be 30-fold, 60-fold, even 100-fold. Jesus desired that we would follow his strategy. The Bible shows he sent out 12 to minister and then 70, and they went out experiencing the Holy Spirit working in their lives. You see, our mandate is disciple-making. which is the whole process from unbeliever to fully trained, reproducing disciple makers. Our goal is multiplication. We want to step out. We want to step one, reach new people, and have them come and see. That's step number one. Step two is they can follow them. And then in step three, equip them to become effective workers, and finally send them out to launch and find new members. Jesus' mission was not to reach the world, but to make disciples who are capable of reaching the world. It is still going on today. There's churches recognize this great importance of their calling and their commissioning to make disciples. Let me remind you of 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is my love, my passion, my commitment to win people to the Lord. Well, we'll excuse chair number four person, huh? Well, that's making disciples. Now, I know we shared quite a bit here, a lot of great insight. So as time goes on in our fellowships, we can make available some of this information so that you can review it. Obviously, you can go on Facebook Live, and it'll be on YouTube to re-listen to this teaching. So what are we going to do? Make disciples. Let's go make some disciples and fill up this beautiful facility with hungry souls that want to love God. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege we have to be in your family, to heed your calling to make disciples. And may we, Father, have the joy and rejoicing in our hearts as we listen to you and follow your lead as we talk to people and know what to say and how to do it and how to work with folks. What a great opportunity to walk with you. So we ask for your guidance and direction in all these steps as we win one for the Lord that will win others as well. We pray and thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 God bless you all. See you next Sunday. The Lord tarries. And thank you, experts.